Okay, let me ask you to tell me your name, spell the last one, and state your title, please.
I'm Bill Barry. That's Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. And I'm the NASA Chief Historian.
Where are you based?
Washington, D.C.
Okay. Are all the collections that you deal with in the Washington area, then?
No. Each NASA center, there are 10 of them across the country. They each have their own collections of materials that they use for historical purposes. Some are bigger than others for various reasons, but they're scattered in various places.
2018 is a big anniversary year for the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, and I'm talking with Bill Barry, who is the chief historian for NASA. Bill, welcome to AirVenture.
Oh, thanks, Mike. I'm really glad to be here.
So tell me why this is a big year for NASA.
Well, we have multiple anniversaries piling on top of each other. Of course, we recently had the 70th anniversary of Chuck Yeager breaking the sound barrier at the end of last year. And this year is the 60th anniversary of NASA. We were formed on October 1st, 1958. And right after that anniversary, we begin the Apollo 50th anniversary season because there are several Apollo missions that were flown. The first one with a crew on board was Apollo 7. And it launched on October 11th, 1968, so 50 years ago this October.
Yeah. So, you know, last year at AirVenture 2017, we had what several of the participants in the event thought might be the last reunion of Apollo astronauts. We had several of those folks here. We were able to talk to many of them. I talked with Frank Borman about the fact that, you know, it might not happen again.
Yeah. I was actually in the front row at the Theater in the Woods for that. That was a great event.
Wasn't that fun?
Those guys are always amazing, and it's great to see the interplay between them when they're talking with each other. It's like the last 50 years haven't happened for them in some ways, I think.
So how do you go about collecting information that is of historical significance? Use Apollo as an example.
Well, for Apollo, there are lots of records that are generated anyway that under government regulations we're required to keep. So there are a number of things that will go to the National Archives. So the National Archives gets the record copy of things. For reference purposes, most NASA centers will maintain a reference collection. So, key documents that are related to events that may have happened at various times and places that we think will be of use in the future, the transcripts from the missions and things like that. So we'll maintain a copy of those. The original will go to the Air and Space Museum or go to the National Archives. So we have that material, but we also have an active program to go talk to people like you talked to Frank Borman. Last week we have an oral history program where we formally interview people that we think are significant factors in history, and we try and we maintain those copies of those things as well. And then we collect a lot of other material that we think, sort of collateral material that we think will be of value to either immediate use for answering questions from the press or the public or from within NASA. Or that might be of use to researchers writing on the topic.
I have in mind what I think is probably the number one artifact that you wish you had.
Yeah. Okay, what's that?
It's the original electronic recordings of the Apollo 11 telecast.
Ah, that's a really interesting case. Back in the 70s, actually, when this was happening, early 70s, I was actually in high school and I worked in a TV studio. We had a closed-circuit TV studio at a really big high school. And it was common practice to never save anything on tape. You just re-record it over things.
Right.
And that's precisely what happened in this case. The camera in Australia that was filming the TV thing that was recording that, they were broadcasting that through, and so it was taped elsewhere. And the folks in Australia, they got done with Apollo 11. Okay, yeah, it's Apollo 12 time. We need some more audio or some tape. So they pull out those old tapes and record it over them. That's just how things worked in those days.
Yeah.
It'd be kind of nice to have that because I think you might be able to extract with current technology,
better quality
stuff out of that. But we've done pretty well with the recordings we have, and we didn't really lose anything other than the potential of having a better recording.
Yeah. Talking with Bill Barry, who's NASA's chief historian, what's the most fun thing you get to do?
Being chief historian at NASA, every day is a great day. It's one of the two best jobs on planet Earth at NASA, I think. But for me, one of the most interesting things that's happened in recent years is we've gotten pulled into consulting on movies about space that are historical. NASA has a fair amount of involvement with the movie industry, like The Martian, for example. We had people who helped them out with planning what the future would look like. But when they look at the past, we've been asked to consult on those things too. So, and I've been involved in sort of two big projects so far. One is Hidden Figures. We're deeply involved in trying to make sure they got that as factually correct as they possibly could while still telling an interesting story you could tell in 90 minutes that people want to shell out $20 to go see. And more lately, there's a movie in production called First Man. It's a biography of Neil Armstrong. We've been doing some consulting on that as well at headquarters and also at various NASA centers around the country. So that's always interesting because it's something I've never dealt with before. And the Hollywood crowd's an interesting bunch.
Well, you know, the aviation and aerospace fan crowds go to those movies, and I count myself among those. And we kind of look for things to argue about, you know.
Absolutely.
Not that that's a healthy thing, but it's just kind of a thing, right? So how do you ride that line between, okay, this is a movie and they need to sell, but this is what happened and this needs to be portrayed in a certain way?
Well, ultimately, it's their movie. Whoever the producer is that they're paying to make a movie, and if NASA's really unhappy with something being grossly factually incorrect or mischaracterizing something, our basic premise is that if you want us to cooperate with you on this movie and help you out or allow you to use, for example, a NASA insignia, you're not allowed legally to use a NASA insignia unless the meatball, we call it, that blue ball with the red slash on it. You're not allowed to use that unless you have permission to do that. So that's kind of our ultimate threat, is that we won't let you use the meatball if do a better job with this. But typically, we don't have to do that, and most of the times they're happy to do it. But they're making a movie. They're the experts on what will sell with the public. On Hidden Figures, I spent a lot of time arguing with Ted Melfi, the director, about that scene where.
One of the three principal women
is walking through the wind tunnel and gets their heel caught. And I told Ted, I said, number one, people don't walk through wind tunnels to go anywhere, right?
Especially in heels, probably.
Yeah, that would definitely never happen.
Yeah.
And there are interlocks, safety interlocks that she wouldn't have been in danger anyway if that thing actually had happened. I said, this is a really stupid scene, and anybody who knows anything about wind tunnels will know that this is completely bogus. And Ted paused for a second and he goes, yeah, Bill. How many people you think there are out there that know anything about wind tunnels? He says, I'll bet that this is going to be one of the favorite scenes of people from this movie. And turns out he was right. Most people don't know much about wind tunnels. And most people, when I talk to them about the movie, they go, wasn't that a great scene where she got her heel caught? And I said, you do know that's completely fake. That would never happen. They go, oh, yeah, but it was really exciting. So it's their movie and when they come to us, they're asking for help on being as accurate as we can help them make it and lend a dose of realism. But we all know it's a movie, it's fictional. It's not a documentary usually. So there's a line there, and that's constantly one of those things that you're sort of asking yourself as you're helping out. Do I really want to make a stand on this one, or is this? Anybody who's a pilot knows that you don't pull back on the stick to extend your glide. You nail L over D max or your best glide speed, and that's going to get you the best distance for what you have left. But the original script of the movie had a scene in there where
which movie?
The movie First Man. I'm sorry, this new movie about Neil Armstrong is coming out this fall. One of the scenes in the original script had him pulling back on a stick . And so I sent a note to the scriptwriter saying, you do know that this is not what a pilot would do. Here's the aerodynamics of it. And that was one of those ones they said, yeah, okay, we can fix that.
Yeah.
We'll find another way to make him look desperate.
I don't know. I mean, in all the tape I've seen, I don't think Neil Armstrong and desperate kind of go in the same place. But again, this is a movie, right?
Yeah, I have a real sympathy for Ryan Gosling, who's playing Neil Armstrong in the movie, because... how do you play a guy like who's so cool and unperturbed and analytical? Neil Armstrong's a nice guy. You can play him as a nice guy, but how do you depict any emotion and do the movie? That's going to be, I'll be interested to see how that comes out in the movie. I think it's a challenge.
Yeah. Talking with Bill Berry, who's the chief historian for NASA, collection of artifacts changes when media tilts towards the digital. There are different kinds of artifacts that you're collecting now, and you probably apply different judgments to whether something has historical significance. How's all that working now?
We're actually in a big time of transition about those things, because the National Archives has decreed that in a few years, all records should be turned over to them digitally. They don't want paper documents anymore. Interestingly, at NASA, we still use a fair amount of paper. So we've got the question of how are we going to digitize the material that we need to digitize? How do you decide what to digitize? Then what do you do with things that are what's called born digital, you know, like emails and items like that? Fortunately for me, I don't have to solve these problems and answer those questions, because we have a chief archivist at NASA, actually. In fact, we just hired a new one this spring. Our previous one had retired a couple of years ago. So Robin Rogers, our new chief archivist at NASA, who comes to us from the National Archives, is an expert on all these things, and she is busily working away on our plan on how we're going to move from the paper and digital age to the all-digital age and dealing with records and materials.
So as you're on the field at AirVenture this year, 2018, is there anything in particular that you're looking for, either to take in or to give out?
Well, I came up here primarily to talk about NASA's 60th anniversary and a little bit about the Apollo 50th anniversary as well. And I'm working at the NASA display over here, answering questions and talking to folks like you, Mike, about the issues that are of importance to NASA, questions people have. But I'm also an EAA member and a pilot, and I have a long list of things that when they let me escape from the NASA tent to go wander around for lunch, I'm going to run by and look at them. Those military gliders out there in the Warbird area are of particular interest. I'm a glider pilot as well, so I was curious to see those, and I'll probably wander around Vintage this afternoon or evening or something after we close, and because that's one of my favorite spots as well.
Great. Well, have a great time while you're here, and thanks for coming to see us. Bill Berry, the Chief Historian for the National Aeronautics and Space Administration.
Thanks
for coming by.
Thanks, Mike. It was my pleasure.
You're listening to EAA Radio.